So the first reading is taken from the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. The second reading is also taken from the book of Hebrews. We're going to be looking at chapter 10, verses 19 to 22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, everybody. And Ignite already started to make their way out. That's great. And for the rest of us, do have a seat. And if you're able to take up your Bibles to page 1208, we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 10 today. Well, as you're getting ready, let me pray for us. Jesus' disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name.'" Lord, we want to ask that question again today. Teach us to pray. And today we're asking you, teach us to pray with confidence. And in all that we do, we also want to say, "Hallowed be your name." Amen. Well, Jesus says, when you pray, say. If prayer is simply speaking to God, then isn't it one of the easiest things you can do? The littlest child can pray. But if it's that easy, why is prayer so often so hard? Do you find that? At least some of the time? Well, today, there's great news. We are going to look at the secret of praying with confidence. But first, think about a couple of ways we find prayer hard. Sometimes prayer is hard because God feels too distant. Perhaps you're not sure yet if you believe in him. Maybe you've tried to pray, and it just feels like the prayers are bouncing off the ceiling. There's no connection there. Or maybe God feels distant because you think, he doesn't understand. He can't know what it's like to be me. How can I talk to him? Or maybe God feels distant because you've got out of the habit of prayer or of coming to church. And it's been so easy to do that, hasn't it, during COVID? But another reason prayer can be hard is because of us. We are hiding from God. I wonder, can you think of a time in the Bible when people hid from the Lord? Well, Adam and Eve, of course, after they rebelled and took the fruit representing the knowledge of good and evil, they had a guilty conscience and they hid. And the guilty conscience kills prayer. As Jesus put it, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Sometimes prayer is hard because we have a guilty conscience and we're hiding from God. So what does God have to say about these kinds of things? What is the secret to approach him with confidence in prayer? Well, we've got two readings from the book of Hebrews today. Both are special summary verses giving us reasons to come to God with confidence. We're going to start in chapter 10. It's page 1208. And I've just put it up on the screen for you. Let me read it out again, this bit of it. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God. I've just set it out like this because to help us see the logic of what the person is saying. And I put the sort of linking words in red. And if anyone was on the weekend away, you might be immediately, hopefully remember, there's a therefore. What do we say when we see a therefore? What is the therefore, therefore? And you can see the logic, hopefully, here. Therefore, since this, and since this, let us draw near to God. But before we look at those two senses, what is the most holy place? It's really important that we understand that. Well, in Old Testament times, it was in the temple in Jerusalem. And it was in the very center of that temple. God had said to Israel, there I will dwell. But in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5, he says, the sanctuary, that's this place, is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. So the holy place in the temple is like a little bit of heaven on earth. It was a symbol of the real thing, God's dwelling in heaven. Now, this sounds great, doesn't it? It sounds wonderful to have this in the midst of the people, but there was a great problem. God's people were not allowed in. A great curtain blocked the way. Why? Well, it was there to protect the people. Because if they went in, they would die from God's judgment. It was like the sign you get on an electrical substation, danger of death, keep out. And in the same way, you cannot come and live with a holy God. He is so completely good. He is so blazingly pure beyond all we can imagine that he cannot live with evil, even a little bit of it. He must judge all that is wrong. And so the curtain was there as a great reminder of this terrible truth, a great reminder of their sin. Now, the last couple of weeks, if you've been with us, we looked at the Lord's Prayer. And we saw that prayer is like being a child with a loving father. But this week, we're going to realize that something amazing must have had to happen so that we can come to God like a child. That's what we're going to look at today. Have another look at our reading. Now, I realize we're sort of quite spread out, but maybe someone might be able to help me again answer this question. Have a look there. What is the reason we can now come with confidence to the most holy place? Or what are the reasons? Does anyone want to be brave and stick a hand up? What are the reasons we can come to the most holy place? Just to give you a clue, there's a couple of bys there. By, by. A couple of senses there. Anyone want to have a go? Go on, Victoria, thank you. Because Jesus died. Yeah, brilliant. And anything else you notice? Yeah, go on. Brilliant. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, brilliant. Thank you very much. That'll do for now. The blood of Jesus refers to his death as our sacrifice for sins. Now, in the Old Testament, God gave the priests this job of making animal sacrifices. It was a primitive system. But it taught them that their sin needed punishing. And when the animal was killed in their place, the blood was sprinkled on the priest. And this showed that a death had occurred, judgment had fallen on the animal and not on them. And that meant that God could live with them. Near, but not too near. The curtain was still there. But now, Jesus has come as the perfect sacrifice. By his death on the cross, he has opened, as it says there, a new and living way. Listen, as Victoria has just pointed out, but let's listen to how Mark put it in his gospel, his account of Jesus' death. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. As Jesus' body was torn on the cross, God tore the curtain open to signify the way is open to come. When I was at university, in our dining hall, by the high table for the lecturers, there was this door that only the lecturers could go through. And they went through after dinner, and I don't know what they did in this special room, but they maybe had drinks and that kind of thing. But this door stood there, and we couldn't even get a glimpse into it. And it was like a reminder, you are just a lowly student. You are not worthy to come in here. And I always thought, wouldn't it be great to go into this special room? Well, the amazing thing was, after we graduated, we were invited for a reunion, and we could actually go in and have a drink in the fellow's room. Well, how much better is it for the Christian? Jesus died to open the way to God's holy presence. And it's not like you've got to earn your way in, like getting a degree. All are invited. All who've turned to Christ can enter God's holy presence. So this passage is saying, come with confidence. You have a perfect sacrifice. But let's just have a look at the final bit of that reading in chapter 10. He says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. So how should we draw near to God? Well, it says with a sincere heart. This means no more pretending before God. Don't pretend you're something you are not. Jesus' perfect sacrifice for sin means that you and I can come with confidence to be honest before God. He knows you and me, warts and all, and loves us just the same. And we can draw near in full assurance of faith. If you come, putting your faith in him, it says here, the blood of Jesus sprinkles your hearts to cleanse from a guilty conscience. Isn't that amazing? And the blood of Jesus will wash your bodies like pure water. As our Christianity Explored course puts it, and I never cease loving this quote, we are more wicked than we ever imagined, but more loved than we ever dreamed. So come with confidence. You have a perfect sacrifice. But let's have a look briefly at the second reading. And I've just put it all up on the screen. We're not going to go through it in as much detail. In the Old Temple, as I was saying, there was this high priest. And the high priest had the special job of being in charge of the sacrifices. In fact, he was the one person who could go into the most holy place, but only on one day of the year, on the Day of Atonement. He was the mediator between a holy God and a sinful people. But now, it says that Jesus is the great high priest who has gone into the heavens. That is the real heavenly holy place. But why? Why is Jesus such a perfect high priest? This page 1203, I forgot to say, to Hebrews chapter 4. And here's my question. Why is Jesus such a perfect high priest? I've just put a ring around the bit. Anyone want to help me again? Why is he such a perfect high priest who fancies being brave? Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. I've highlighted them up there, but just think in the Gospels how Jesus is described as getting tired, getting hungry, weeping when his friend dies, and especially being tempted by Satan. And of course, particularly in the Garden of Gethsemane. Remember that? The thing is, he therefore knows what it's like to be someone like you and me. He has lived the life we live. But as Jonathan says, there is an important difference. Yet, he was without sin. Now, why is this so vitally important? Well, it means, of course, that he can be the perfect sacrifice, a sinless offering. His blood really can cleanse our consciences. So the blood of the animals, Hebrews says, can't really do it. But Jesus' blood can cleanse us on the inside. But also, as a priest, he can do better than just sympathize. Because unlike us, he didn't fail. So he can surely help us. He can mediate between God and us. The perfect God-man can bridge the gap between God and man. So then, how should we approach the throne of grace? Come with confidence. You have a perfect sacrifice and a perfect priest. Come with confidence. And what will we find when we come? Mercy and grace. We saw in the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our sins. The reformer, Calvin, calls it, the plea for forgiveness of sins is the most important part of prayer. We can plead in confidence that we will find mercy and not the judgment we deserve. And we'll find grace there at the bottom to help us in our time of need. Remember the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's help like that he's talking about, and many other things. Jesus is the perfect high priest who loves to intercede on our behalf and give us the help that we need every step of the way of our lives, all the way to heaven. So come with confidence. You have a perfect sacrifice and a perfect priest. Just think for a minute before we move on. Jesus is both the sacrifice and the priest. Isn't that stunning? He goes into God's presence as our high priest, and the sacrifice he gives is his own death. He gets on the altar and is killed himself. Isn't that amazing? We sometimes lose sight of how amazing it is, don't we? It's vividly portrayed in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Remember how the children go to Aslan for help. And Aslan acts like a priest and intercedes on Edmund's behalf with the White Witch. And Edmund is released and not punished. But then we realize that a sacrifice is needed. For there has to be a sacrifice for Edmund's treachery. And the sacrifice, of course, is Aslan himself on the stone table. It's just like what Jesus has done for us. Perfect sacrifice, perfect priest. Well, how should we respond to all of this when it comes to our prayers? Well, I think if Jesus was here today, he would say, "Will you pray now I've opened the way? Will you pray now I've opened the way?" So what about you? Will you pray? Perhaps you don't feel quite yet ready to come. Could that be because you've not yet grasped that Jesus' death is the perfect sacrifice for all sins? When I was a child, I used to go to church and feel peaceful in church. But as soon as we left, in fact, almost immediately we got into the car, we started arguing and I started shouting at my sisters and all of that thing. And the peace just didn't last. I didn't know. I just thought, wouldn't it be great to have peace that lasts? And I think the reason that I didn't have that is because I didn't believe or trust in Jesus' death for me. I didn't even really know why he died. Last summer, I was reading this biography of a great Christian leader of the 19th century called Charles Simeon. And in his diary, he describes his conversion. And these words, I think, they're just for us. He says this: "In Passion Week, I was reading about the Lord's Supper, and I came up to this expression. The Jews knew what they did when they transferred their sin to the head of a sacrifice. And the thought came into my mind, what, May I transfer all my guilt onto another? Has God provided an offering for me that I may lay my sins on his head? Then, God willing, I will not bear them on my own soul one moment longer. And so I sought to lay my sins on the sacred head of Jesus. And from Easter Sunday, he says, from that hour, peace flowed in rich abundance into my soul. Well, dear friends, have you done that? Have you laid your sins on Jesus' head and known them to be taken away? You can do it today. But a Christian may have done that definitively, and yet still sometimes we have this guilty conscience that hinders our prayers. Pete was being interviewed for a job as youth worker in his local church. The minister asked him, "Is there any secret in your past which would bring dishonor to Jesus Christ if it came out into the open now?" Well, Pete gulped because there was one, and he carried it around as a burden in his heart. And the last thing he wanted was for it to be brought out into the open. So he said, "No," gulped quietly, and felt worse than ever. A guilty conscience causes us to hide from other people, but particularly from God. Is there something you still need to repent of? That if you're honest, if you can recognize it, it's putting a barrier between you and God. Our mission partner, Chris Howes, loves to tell us about the East African revival. What was the spark that set it off? Well, it was real, heartfelt, and in their case, public confession of sin and repentance. And that was what led to this amazing spiritual revival and a prayer-led revival, repentance. Or perhaps you are hindered from confident prayer because you've not yet grasped that Jesus is the mediator, that he is alive today, standing beside you in heaven, doing his wonderful ministry as the high priest. His work on the cross is finished, but his priestly work goes on forever, always. Could it be that you feel far from God because you've not realized that Jesus is standing as your mediator today? The words of the lovely hymn say it so well. We're going to sing it in a bit. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong, a perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is Love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My name is written on his hands. My name is hidden in his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no power can force me to depart. Jesus is saying, will you pray? Now I've opened the way. God need not be distant. Our sin need not be a barrier. Come with confidence. In the quietness of your own heart. Regularly at home. Perhaps regularly again. Or perhaps here with someone in church. We've got this lovely prayer area at the back. We have a prayer team that can help you. If it would be just something you need, for someone to sit beside you while you pray, maybe confess. Come with confidence. You have a perfect sacrifice and a perfect priest. Let's pray now. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you. You are the Holy God, in whose presence is no sin. And we know that by ourselves, in our own natures, we cannot come in. And yet we thank you for the blood of Jesus. That means we can now come by his blood. And we thank you that he is the living great high priest, always making intercession for us, who understands our weaknesses and lives for us. We thank you. Heavenly Father, we pray today for any here with us who have not yet transferred their sins onto Jesus' head, have not yet known him as the mediator. putting us right with you. Our Heavenly Father, I pray that any who need to make a response will do. But Father, we also pray for all of us that you'll refresh us with the wonder of what you have done so that we can come confidently into your holy presence and call you our Father. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.